Hello and welcome. Welcome to Input English. In this episode, we're going to talk about what it was like to live on my boat in Marina del Rey. In a previous episode, I explained that I had accepted a position at UCLA for 1 year. I was moving from Cleveland, which is 2,500 miles. At the time, I was divorced, I owned basically no furniture, and I had very few possessions. So renting an apartment in the San Fernando Valley, having to furnish it, and having to put up with that huge commute seemed crazy to me, so I thought outside the box and bought a boat. The boat was already in Marina del Rey. It was relatively small, almost 9 meters long. It was in sailing condition, which had an added value to me. Not only could I live on the boat, but I could sail it on the weekends. Now, until I put this video together, I hadn't given much thought to the implications on living in a vehicle. So in the United States, if someone lives in their vehicle, a lot of people would call them homeless. When I was in LA, I had no apartment, no hotel room. I wasn't renting a room, and I certainly didn't have a house. And so I lived in my vehicle, my boat. I really never considered that I was homeless, but some people might say so. Now, when you tell someone you live on a boat, how you say that will change the impression they get. I could say, I live on my boat, that's what I usually did, and that left it up to their imagination unless they asked more questions. If I wanted to be more precise, I could say, I live on a sailboat or a 27-foot sailboat. I'm adding precision. They get a better picture of what it's like. If I were trying to impress someone, I could say, I live on a yacht. I never try to impress anybody. I'm not sure I ever told anybody ever that I lived on a yacht. I don't think so. Marina del Rey is one of the many smaller areas in Los Angeles, call them villages or towns or locales, smaller areas that have their own identity. We talk about LA, but that is way too vague. What are you talking about in LA? Are you talking about Santa Monica or Hollywood or maybe Pacific Palisades or Westwood? So there are a whole bunch of villages and local areas in LA with their own name, their own identity, and their own vibe. The vibe for Marina del Rey, according to my observations, was youth and money. It was a great place to live. Most people, when I was there, who were living in Marina del Rey, were living in apartments or condominiums. Very few people lived on boats. Marina del Rey is vast. It is huge. And I recall that at some point they had more than 6,000 boats. It is a very big marina. And it gives you direct access to Santa Monica Bay, which is part of the Pacific Ocean. Marina del Rey is a very sheltered marina, so a storm coming in off the Pacific is not very likely to cause much damage to these vessels. They're protected by the harbor. I lived in a marina off Penny Way. Down the street from where I lived on this boat was the Benihana restaurant and the Chandlery. Now, a Chandlery is a store that sells supplies and fittings and parts for boats, which is a good thing to have handy if you live on a boat and you need to do some repairs. The ship's store was easy walking distance, And many a time I walked there to buy a fitting or a replacement part for the boat. In the marina, there are many docks, and each dock has its own gate with security to prevent the public from coming onto the boats. The docks have a ramp that goes down to the dock, but the dock itself is floating because this harbor is tidal water. The tide comes in and the water level goes up. The tide goes out and the water level goes down. And so these ramps change their angle, but are always in a suitable orientation so that one can walk up and down safely. Once you're on the dock, there are boats on either side. And the boats are parked right next to each other, but there's a walkway between each boat so that you, as the owner or the person using that boat, can get into the boat on either side. Typically, the boats I was familiar with, the sailboats that I was familiar with, you would enter on the left side of the boat. There was a way to unhook the lifeline, that is the safety line, open that up so that you could easily step into the boat. When the boats are docked, there are ways to hook the boats up to electrical power. And then we had telephone lines that we had to plug in. This was before smartphones and modern cell service. I actually had a landline on my boat, but it had to be plugged in. The boat had to be plugged in. There was also a connection for water. Now, these boats have to have a holding tank for human waste that can't go overboard into the harbor. That's completely illegal and very undesirable. So each boat has to have a holding tank, and then there are facilities to remove the waste out of the holding tank from time to time as needed. On the dock where I lived, there were only three of us that I can recall who were living on the boat. The rest of the boats, the owners had a house or an apartment, and they only came to visit their boat perhaps on weekends or evenings. A lot of these boats didn't go out very often. There was one old fellow, I forget his name, with a gray beard, kind of a slight build, and he had another sailboat. He was very proud of his sailboat. And his sailboat looked very good as long as you didn't get very close to it. As soon as you got up close, you could see that it needed some repairs. One might say it was a little long in the tooth. It was a little old, but it did have a fine pedigree. There was another boat two down from me, but this was originally a power boat. It was a Chris-Craft, a large cabin cruiser. The owner had fitted it with extensive canvas to enclose the cockpit area to increase his living area. Now, this boat never went out of the harbor. It never moved from its mooring at that berth on that dock. Never. My recollection is that it didn't even have an engine. I think the engine had been removed. The boat was incapable of getting underway. It could not move under its own power. It was owned by a fellow, and I cannot say that I've ever heard his name, because everyone just called him the Tan Man. This was for obvious reasons. He was a young fellow, trim, fit, with a great suntan. He was very popular with the ladies, and he had a lot of lady visitors on his boat. He lived on that boat. We got along fine, but really had very little contact. One incident was famous on the dock. It occurred while I was living there. One of his lady friends, or more likely former lady friends, wanted access to the boat. She wanted to come spend some time with him on the boat. He didn't really want her coming to the boat, so he didn't grant access. He didn't let her in. Unfortunately, she was intoxicated. She was drunk. and she was determined to get into that boat. She wanted in, and she was coming in. But as I mentioned earlier, the dock, like all the docks in Marina del Rey, has a security fence designed to prevent people from just coming in unwanted. So this intoxicated lady decided to try to overcome the security fence, the security gate, and come onto his boat. You can predict how that turned out. She wound up in the water. Now, there were no injuries, but we did have to fish her out of the water. The day-to-day living on the boat was very pleasant. In the morning, I would pull the boards out of the companionway, that's the entrance of the boat, and step out into the cockpit, into the open air. A good deep breath of air. The air just came off the Pacific. It's clean and fresh. The only sounds that you heard pretty much all the time was the sounds of the standing rigging clanking on the boat. Occasionally someone would start an engine, and that might be noisy. It might give off some diesel fumes, but it didn't happen very often. There were sea lions. There were also scuba divers who were in the business of providing maintenance for the boat owners. These divers would come to a boat for a fee, and they would clean barnacles and algae off the hull. And I used the services of these divers to maintain my boat. Each morning, I would step off the boat, walk up the dock onto shore, and use the bath facilities provided by the marina. They were never very busy, and my schedule at UCLA started very early, so it was ideal. The parking facilities at the marina and also at UCLA had a gate to control access to the parking lot, and you needed a pass key or a card or some sort of code to get in so that you could raise the arm of the gate so that you could drive through. But my little Triumph Spitfire, my little British sports car, usually went under the gate easily. That was an added benefit. One of the few benefits of having that funny little car. The social benefits of living on a sailboat were pretty obvious, and that is, trying to get to know people at UCLA was super easy because I was always asking around who might want to go sailing on the weekend because I'd like to go out, and my boat really wasn't set up for single-handing, that is, sailing it by myself. I usually needed somebody else, another set of hands, to get the boat properly set up to where we could sail. So I was always asking people if they wanted to sail, and they tended to say yes. I can't recall that I ever was unable to get a crew to go sailing. One of the young fellows who I worked with in our department decided that he would like to go sailing with me, but he had something else in mind. So he asked two girls to come with him to sail on my boat. In reality, he was using my boat to entertain young girls. At the time, I was in my mid-30s, and this fellow was doing postgraduate studies, but he was probably in his 20s. And the girls he brought to the boat were probably in their teens. These were probably 19 or 20-year-olds. They were undergraduates at UCLA, and they were nice enough, but there was kind of a generational mismatch here. The fellow I was talking about who brought the young girls onto the boat had really not been sailing very often, but he had been on a boat enough to know that he tended to get seasick. So he had a plan. He premedicated himself with Dramamine so that he would not have problems with seasickness. That was his plan. What he had not planned on is that the Dramamine made him very sleepy and lethargic, and it also didn't prevent his seasickness. So he was in the unenviable position of being drowsy and lethargic from the medication side effects. He was seasick, and so he chose to go to the front of the boat and try to get some fresh air and stave off his symptoms. Now, this boat we were sailing is a Catalina sailboat, and they're known for being relatively dry boats. They have very high sides, and so when you sail them under reasonable conditions, you don't usually get wet, or not very wet. On this day we were sailing, the seas were fine. It wasn't bad at all. But at one point, the prow of the boat, the very front of the boat, caught a wave in a peculiar way and sliced through the wave, and that launched this large ball of water up into the air, not very high, and it seemed to be slow motion. This large ball of water, many gallons of water, went directly for my colleague and completely soaked him. So now at this point in our sailing, he was lethargic from the side effects of his medication, he was seasick, and he was wet from head to toe because of that water splashing on him from the Pacific. He was miserable. When I completed my time at UCLA, I accepted a faculty position at UC Davis. So I sold the boat, and in Sacramento, we moved into a real apartment downtown. This was when I had a real job. I could have a real apartment. I look back at that time living on that sailboat very fondly. It was always interesting and almost always fun. I would submit that Marina Del Rey is nearly ideal for this purpose because sailing in Santa Monica Bay is usually very manageable. The winds are very clean coming straight off the Pacific. We didn't have to deal with problems of treacherous currents or gusty wind conditions. Sometimes visibility was quite poor, and usually if it was foggy, we might motor out and find that it cleared up out on the Pacific a ways out from shore. That marine layer frequently would burn off out over the ocean before it would burn off near the shore. So many a day I motored out straight away from shore toward the west and emerged from the fog and had a beautiful day of sailing. One of the fellows who occasionally stayed on his boat was an airline pilot, and I would run into him in the bath facility and would talk to him about weather conditions, because few people know more about the weather than pilots, particularly professional pilots. So I would talk to this fellow, and sometimes he would have current information on what we would likely encounter, because he just landed a jetliner at LAX and had come into his boat to spend the day. So that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I invite comments below, and I hope you join us in future videos. See you soon.